And so, Father, as we turn our attention to your word, I pray that you would speak to our hearts, that you would help our hearts to be soft and our minds to be sharp and your spirit to be active. Might he be our teacher this morning, Lord? Might he guide us into your truth? And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, grab your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 17. 2 Chronicles, chapter 17. And Jehoshaphat, his son, being Asa's son, reigned in his stead and strengthened himself against Israel. And he placed forces in all the fenced cities of Judah and set garrisons in the land of Judah and in the cities of Ephraim, which Asa his father had taken. And the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the first ways of his father David and sought not unto Baalim, but sought to the Lord God of his father and walked in his commandments and not after the doings of Israel. Therefore, the Lord established the kingdom in his hand, and all Judah brought to Jehoshaphat presents. And he had riches and honor in abundance, and his heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. Moreover, he took away the high places and groves out of Judah. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for your word. Might it pierce our hearts today, Lord, as only it can. It's living and powerful, Lord, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. This week I was talking with a fellow, and we got to talking about years gone by. And some years back, many years back now, actually, we were doing government contracting up above Steamboat. And as a result of that, we were driving from Roseburg up to the area called Reynolds Ridge up above Steamboat for probably 2 years, except for when it was snowing. So we got to know that road pretty well, every bump and curve and twist. And it was a good thing because it gave us a sense of security, a sense of protection. We knew what to do and not to do on those roads. Here we have a very similar situation because Jehoshaphat is walking a familiar path. He's walking on solid ground, you see. His name means the Lord is judge, and he is the son of Asa, who was a godly king for part of his life. He led revival there in the land of Judah, and toward the end of his life, he got off track and went the wrong direction. But Asa learned from his father, and as we shall see from David as well. In the book of Romans, we read in verse 4 of chapter 15, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope." So we have the scriptures as a guide to give us, if you will, that familiar path so that we know which direction to go, which way to follow. Now, Jehoshaphat didn't have the book of Romans, but he did have a familiar path because, you see, he had the testimony of his father Asa, and he had the life of David to which he could pay attention to give him guidance and direction, and he followed it well. Here in verse 1, we read, "Jehoshaphat, his son, reigned in his stead and strengthened himself against Israel, and he placed forces in all the fenced cities of Judah and set garrisons in the land of Judah and in the cities of Ephraim, which Asa, his father, had taken." Jehoshaphat strengthened himself in the Lord. The chronicler that wrote here wants us to know and understand that. He took the opportunity as king to put troops in the city of Judah. He found the points of need and he began to reinforce them. He began to strengthen them by placing those troops in those cities. And the Lord wants us to do the same thing. He wants us to follow his guide, his direction. He wants us to take assessment. He wants to identify, wants us to identify those points of need and then begin to work in those areas that we might be protected during the times of attack. Peter was one who needed help. He had points of need, as we know from following Peter's life. And when the Lord was getting ready to go to the cross, he spoke into Peter's life. He said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." Peter didn't know it, but he had a need there in the area of faith, trusting the Lord to guide and direct his steps. And the Lord says, "I'm very aware of that need, and I'm going to help you, Peter. I've prayed for you." And the Lord would say the same thing to us, even as he gave Jehoshaphat guidance, as he gave Peter guidance. And there are many other examples in Scripture. He will give you, he will give me guidance as well. Jehoshaphat reinforced those places. He, if you will, surrounded himself with good men. And that's one of the ways, by the way, that we can strengthen ourselves, by surrounding ourselves with good people that know Jesus, that are lovers of Jesus, that will give us counsel, that will walk with us and encourage us. You see, Jehoshaphat walked in the path of the victory of his father. He placed these armaments in these places, not only within Judah, but also in the cities outside of Judah, there in Ephraim, where Asa, his father, had had victory. We walk an amazing path because we have those who have gone before us that have won the victory and has given us the freedom as well to be able to do the work of ministry that God has called us to do. We need to work, guys, to strengthen our weaknesses. We need to pray for revelation. We need to pray for understanding. We need to pray for commitment, passion in our lives. Lord, help me to know and understand where I'm weak, that I may be strong. And Lord, help me not to trust just in my strengths. Help me to know that in my strengths, I can also fall if I'm too confident in those things, you see. And we need to do that. He placed garrisons at strategic places. He set up those defenses. And he did it before the attacks came, before there was a problem, you see. And that's what we need to do, too. If you've had that conversation with your children, for instance, to tell them, hey, you need to make decisions about what you're going to do if you're put in that circumstance, in that situation. Because if you don't decide beforehand, the chances are really good that you're going to make the wrong decision. We need to choose wisely. We need to choose well, and we need to choose early. Lord, if this comes, if you permit this to come into my life, let me choose well. Billy Graham, a faithful servant of the Lord, was ministering to a number of pastors. And his encouragement to them was, guys, don't touch the girls, the gold, or the glory. And I suspect that's good counsel for all of us, is it not? Don't touch any of those things. We cannot touch the girls and not be impacted, compromising our lives, allowing the evil one a foothold. And it works both ways, not only for the guys, but for the girls, to choose not to touch the guys, but to be faithful to the Lord and to walk in faithfulness before him, not touching the gold, not becoming so enamored by riches that we fail to honor the Lord in those material things. And for certain, not to touch his glory. Not to touch his glory. You know, when we're ministering, and every one of us has a ministry, it's not just up here on this platform, it's outside of these walls. Ministry takes place really outside of these walls. We come here because we gather together to strengthen one another, to be built up in the faith, so that we can go outside of these walls. And I hope that we will do that as a fellowship, that will go outside of these walls and penetrate our communities, penetrate our families, penetrate our culture with the aroma of Jesus. So important to do that. Because you see, if we do that, we're prepared for future battles in advance, and God will use us for his glory. So Jehoshaphat strengthened himself in the Lord, and as a result, the nation was strengthened as well. You know, we see the results of not following the ways of the Lord in our nation right now. Our nation is crumbling, and it is crumbling because we have departed from the ways of the Lord. The Lord has removed his blessing from our nation, and we need to get on our face before him and intercede on behalf of our nation and on behalf of our leaders. We have opportunity to do that this month, beginning on the 23rd, Sunday the 23rd. That evening, we're going to begin a time of prayer and fasting. It's going to go from Sunday the 23rd until Wednesday evening the 26th. We'll be gathering downstairs for an hour of prayer every night, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Then Wednesday, we'll gather together to break the fast together in a meal before we have service. I would encourage you to join us if you can. If you can't, then join us in spirit and pray with us. And we need to be praying for our nation. We're in the midst of this political cycle, which is a bummer. And we need to know and understand that it isn't the politics that's going to save us. It's not Democrat. It's not Republican. It's not independent. None of those things will save us. It's only the hand of God that's going to turn things around in our nation. We need to understand that for sure. In verse 3, and the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the first ways of his father David and sought not unto Baalim, but sought to the Lord God of his father and walked in his commandments and not after the doings of Israel. Here we see Jehoshaphat sought the Lord. That is a great beginning place. It tells us there right at the beginning of verse 3, God was with Jehoshaphat. He carried him, he ministered to him, he guided him, he directed him. And that's exactly what the Lord wants to do in your life and mine as well. If we have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, we have absolute certainty that he is there, that his heart is set upon us, and that his plans for us are the best. Paul would declare in Romans 8, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Do you see God today that way? Do I see him in that fashion? Do I truly believe that he's with me, that he's for me? And not against me? How do I view God? It makes a difference as we look at the scriptures. Jehoshaphat had this huge responsibility in guiding a kingdom, but we've been given a kingdom as well. Our kingdoms might be smaller than Jehoshaphat's kingdom, a family, a place of work, wherever it happens to be, but he's given us this kingdom to guide, to direct, to influence. It tells us that Jehoshaphat walked in the first ways of David. I like that. It's the only place that it talks about David in that fashion. And it identifies the fact that there is a time to look at David's life to emulate, but there's also a time in David's life to not emulate. David did well until he touched the girls, you remember. As he walked that roof, as he gazed down upon Bathsheba, and as he then violated the marriage of her and Uriah and fathered a child, that began a problematic journey for David. He was still a lover of the Lord, but it impacted him. It changed him. And the same is true in our lives as well. We need guys to choose wisely. I was thinking about that, following in the footsteps of David for Jehoshaphat. And I don't know if you've ever noticed that if you're out on the coast, walking on the beach sometime, and you'll see a family, you know, a dad and a son, or mom and dad and a couple of kids. And invariably, you'll see one of the kids walking behind the parent, trying to follow their footsteps, putting their feet in. As it's so cute when that happens. I love it. But that's really what God wants for us, is it not? He wants us to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. And even though the poem says that there were no footsteps, there's footsteps for us to follow. We need to follow him. We need to follow him well. And it says, too, that he avoided idolatry. He didn't get caught up with a Baalim. That's plural, by the way. When you see that I am, Baal is singular. Baalim is plural. He didn't follow any of the gods of the land. He didn't get caught up in those things, nor the things of Israel. So he wasn't following the idols, nor was he trying to worship God in his own way. That was the problem, you see, with Jeroboam and that first kingdom after the kingdom was divided. Jeroboam got paranoid about allowing the people to go to Jerusalem to worship. He said, I'll lose their hearts. They might not come back. And so he created two calves, put one in Bethel, he put one up in Dan. He said, this is where you need to go to worship. It wasn't that they'd turned totally away from Jehovah, but they were trying to worship God in their own way. We can't worship God in our own way. We need to follow the dictates and the guidance of Scripture. We need to follow him. We need to allow him to guide and direct our steps. So important. And it says, there he sought to the Lord God of his father, and the Lord God of his father became his God. Parents, pray that the God, your God, will become not only your God, but will become the God of your children. You see, they have to choose. Just because you're a believer doesn't make them a believer. They don't inherit salvation. And the other thing, too, is, when our kids are young, they're very pliable, if you will. They're very approachable. They're very accepting. They're ready to hear the message. And that's what we need to deliver. But here's something that you need to catalog. And that is, as they grow older, they'll look at the message, but the message they're going to be looking at is your life. Your life. What's important to mom? What's important to dad? That's going to be what determines what's important to them in some fashion. We can't live one way and tell them to live another. We need to live the way we want them to live. We need to be able to say with Paul, follow me as I follow Christ. And that's a challenge to us all, because we know we all have frailties. We all have failings. But the price can be very high if we don't deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him. We need to do that. Today, maybe today is the day where you choose. Yes, today is the day I'm going to purpose in my heart to follow the Lord with all of my heart, mind, soul, and strength so that my children will follow him too. Proverbs has that amazing promise that if we train our children up in the way that they should go when they're old, they will not depart from it. And that is an amazing, glorious journey that we need to seek after. It tells us there that he sought the God of his father, David. I like the way the Amplified Bible says. It says he sought with all his desire the God of David, his father. It wasn't just a casual pursuit. It was all out. It was a passionate pursuit. We need to be passionate about our relationship with the Lord. We need to be passionate about the things of God, because it not only changes us, but it changes those around us, because we begin to emit the very fragrance of Jesus as the Spirit of God is working in us. In verse 5, we read, therefore. And remember, when you see the therefore, you have to ask yourself the question, what's it there for? So what's the therefore, therefore? Well, it says, therefore, the Lord established the kingdom in his hand. Why? Because he sought the Lord of God with all of his desire. If you and I want to be established, here in verse 5, we see Jehoshaphat was established by the Lord. Established by the Lord. He established the kingdom in his hand, and all Judah brought to Jehoshaphat presents, and he had riches and honor in abundance. Wow. Jehoshaphat was given stability in his kingdom, in his relationships, in his personal life. How many of us don't want those things? We want to have stability in our kingdom, if you will, in our family. We want to have a solid marriage. We want to have solid relationships with our children. We want them to see our home as a refuge, a place of safety where they can come and be safe and know that they're going to be built up and encouraged and taught well in our families and in our life. We need stability in our life today more than ever. You ever wake up and just feel undone, come out of a sleep, and it's just in your spirit, you're just stirred up? I don't know if it's a dream or what. I had that happen last night. I woke up and I just thought, Lord, what is going on? I just felt totally undone, just kind of lost. And I had to stop and I had to pray and just seek the Lord. We all have those times, guys. But when we serve the Lord, when we seek the Lord, when we submit to the Lord, He will deliver us from those things. And sometimes those things are necessary because they help us to understand our absolute and total dependence upon Him. You have nothing in yourself that will give you success in life, spiritually speaking. Nothing. He had stability in his personal life. And, you know, James touched on it. He says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. That could be a woman too. And we just need to know and understand that. We want that stability. Jehoshaphat had that stability, but not only did he have that because he sought the Lord, it says that he was given material blessing. I love that. That's an amazing thing to look at. That material blessing came from God, but the people were the conduit. You know, they brought those things to Jehoshaphat because they saw in him the things of God unfolding. And the Spirit of God was working to draw them into that place. Abundant blessing. It's not just blessing, but abundant blessing. That's how our God works. He can do exceeding abundantly beyond what we can even ask or think. David knew that to be true. He says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Oh, great. I get all the hot fudge sundaes in the world that I want. That's not what it's about at all. Because you see, if we're delighting in the Lord with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, guess what? Our desires are going to be in accordance with his will. There was one of the church fathers, name escapes me right at the moment, but he said this. He said, love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and do what you want. Because what he understood is, if I'm loving the Lord with all of my heart, mind, soul, and strength, I'm only going to do those things that he wants. Those become the desires of my heart. If I'm lusting after the world, then I've lost focus upon my relationship with him. I've lost consciousness of my relationship with the God of heaven. Sometimes we can feel like we've done that, but the great assurance is that he'll never leave us, even though we may not be feeling it at the moment. He's there. Trust him. Thank him for being there, even when you don't feel like he is. You know, there are times in our lives when we can feel all alone. I can remember years ago, years and years ago, before I knew my wife and all, standing at a window in my apartment, in the bedroom, just at middle of the night, just weeping and just saying, God, you know, does anybody care about me? Now, granted, it was all about me at that moment. But the point is that we all have those times when we feel alone. Don't be alone. Don't be alone. Cry out to him. Sometimes he will be that which bridges the gap. Other times he will bring into your life an individual or individuals that could come alongside of you and help carry you through. That's what Galatians says. It says in one part of the chapter, I think it's chapter 6, it says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. How powerful is that? How awesome is that, that we have that opportunity to minister to one another in such a fashion that we could be that burden bearer for one another? But it also says later on in that same chapter, bear your own burden. Sometimes, guys, sometimes we will reach out to someone to be the burden bearer in our life, and they don't respond like we would hope, had hoped they would. It's in those moments that we need not get offended. We need to be grateful because the Lord is saying, no, no. At this point in time, all you need is me. All you need to lean on is me. I will see you through the fire, the flood, the difficulty, whatever it is. I will see you through, and he will. Verse 6, as we wrap these things up. And his heart was lifted up. Now, when I read that part of that verse, I thought, oh no, right? Because usually when you see that, those words, it's they're getting off track. And his heart was lifted up and he turned away from the Lord. And then you read on and you go, praise the Lord, that's not what happened at all. And his heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. Moreover, he took away the high places and groves out of Judah. In verse 6, we see that Jehoshaphat prospered in the Lord. He prospered in the Lord. And the result of that was because of God's blessing upon the king. The more Jehoshaphat poured out, the more the Lord poured out. God's going to be a debtor to no one. You will never outgive God in any level. And that's why he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. That's a powerful promise. A powerful promise. Jehoshaphat pursued the Lord. He sought after him with all of his desire, and the result was God's blessing on the king. But that resulted in being drawn even more into the things of the Lord. The more we see him, the more we want of him. The more we have of him, the more we want of him. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. That is where we need to be this morning and in the coming days. Don't keep doing it the same way if you haven't been walking with the Lord or walking tightly with the Lord. Say, today is the day I want to do it right, Lord. I want to begin that journey. I want to press ever deeper into your world, Lord, not the world, into the supernatural realm, Lord. Because what happens is God then begins doing his transforming work. We are truly transformed by the renewing of our minds, memorizing scripture, sharing scripture, witnessing to others, praying for others, pressing in our prayer closet, whether it be intercession or speaking in tongues before the Lord, that glorious prayer language that he provides. All of those things are part and parcel to our relationship with him. Our relationship with him. Guys, the result of God's transforming work in the king is that he became radical for the Lord. We need more people radical for Jesus. We need to be radical. The days have come when we can no longer stand back. We need to be like Nicodemus, who came out of the shadows to claim the Lord's body, even though it would cost him greatly, and to take him to the tomb to see him buried. We need to come out of the shadows. We need to be radical for the Lord. The psalmist declares unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul, my heart, my will, my emotions. Lord, I lift them to you. I give them all to you because I know that you can use them for your glory, as small as that gift may be. It's not small in the hands of the master. He fed thousands with a couple of fishes and loaves, and he can do the same through your life and mine. But we need to do what Jehoshaphat did. We need to remove the idols from the land. What is it that we're serving that is not going to bring glory to the Lord? We need to ask him. You know, Matthew 7 says that we need to be examining ourselves. And if we will do that, if we will turn our attention to him and ask him, he will most definitely show us what we need to do, that we might be all that he designed us to be. We just need to get on the familiar path. We have a great cloud of witnesses indeed to follow after, faithful men and women over the years that have done it well, to emulate Corrie Ten Boom or Reese Howells, or you go down the list of those who were faithful servants of the Lord and the Lord used them mightily. He will continue to do that in your life and mine. Let's just get on the path and then see what he'll do. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, for your promises. Father, I thank you for your people. You've given us so many gifts, Lord, and we stand in awe of those things. Lord, may we meditate upon, glean from the journey of Jehoshaphat. May we find great direction, Lord, as we seek the familiar path. Perhaps today, Lord, we stand at a crossroads, whether to choose well and to walk with the Lord more intimately, or to choose well and decide to come into relationship with you through Jesus. I pray, Lord, that whichever is the case, Father, that we would all respond well. Help us to seek after, Lord, that which we need. Help us to ask for prayer. Lord, there are people here who will pray and pray diligently. So, Lord, help us not to hold on to those things for which we need prayer, but rather to seek out help. I pray, Lord, that you would bring healing where it's needed in this place this morning, emotional, mental, spiritual, physical, Lord. You provide it all. You created us. We thank you for that. I pray the Lord would meet you today at your point of need, that he would pour his healing balm into your life, that you would feel a freshness and a release, and that you would give all glory to him. When I ask it in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you.